Good morning. It's good to see you in worship. I'm going to hand over to Rosemary to take us through some of the intimations.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning, and especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor, and visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. The Lent discussion group. The discussion group will meet on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson Room, starting on 28th of February for 6 weeks. We will be using material entitled Live Lent, Embracing Justice, produced by the Church of England last year. Please contact Derek, 882190, for further information. Warm spaces. The church is open every Wednesday afternoon from 1:30 to 5. Hope to see you there for a cuppa, a blether and some games. We will also be offering a movie afternoon on alternate weeks, and the next film is on this Wednesday afternoon, 22nd of February, and it's Mamma Mia. I think it's Here We Go Again, I think it's the second one. Banner Group. The Banner Group is meeting every Monday in the manse at 7:30 and are currently considering new projects as well as repairing our existing banners. Please contact Dorothy Downey on 881379 for more information. Founders Day and Thinking Day Parade. The youth organisations will mark Founders Day, Thinking Day, with us next Sunday, the 26th of February. This is later than normal due to midterm holidays. And Kirk Session, please note that we will meet this Wednesday evening, the 22nd, at 7:30. And there is an intimation that's not on the screen for the walking group, and just to note that the first church walk of the year will be on the 12th of March around the Glen, and to meet in Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Other intimations are on the printed sheet and can be viewed on Facebook or download from our website if you don't have a copy. And finally, for our Zoom congregation, here's a quick look at our order of service. Thank you.
We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing hymn number 110, Glory Be to God the Father. Let's dedicate our offering. Receive our gifts, we pray. With these gifts, we offer ourselves as your servants in the world. Bless us in our giving and our gifts in their use. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Derek is leading us in our prayers this morning.
Let us pray together. Lord God Almighty, we worship and adore you. Dear God, in our humanity, we can't hope to grasp exactly what and who you are. Your being is outside what we know of space and time. But we see your glory revealed in the beauty of the universe you have created. We know all that you have caused to be revealed of yourself through your people down the ages. And we know your very nature is love itself, revealed in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are surrounded by the beauty of nature and of life, present on the highest mountaintops and the deepest and in the deepest seas. It all comes from you. Lord, as we gather here in this place at this time, in so familiar a setting, we thank you that we are able to meet with you afresh. Help us not to be so comfortable in our routines that we miss the chance to feel your presence, to realize once again just who you are and who Jesus is. Upon a high mountain, you revealed Jesus in the mystery of his transfiguration as your chosen one. In our act of worship this morning, may Christ be revealed to us, that we may hear his voice and receive him in faith. We pray that his light will transform us and this whole world, this day and forward. Merciful God, it is good for us to be here, but we also tremble in your presence like the disciples on that mountain. For we've not lived gloriously, and we have not followed Jesus' example in our actions and when we were inactive. Father, we place before you all that is wrong in our lives. In silence, hear us, as humbly we ask for your forgiveness. And now, restored through faith in our Lord, we conclude our prayer in the words Jesus taught his first disciples, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 481, Jesus is the name we honour.
Thank you.
During our October holiday, we had our grandson staying with us for some of the time, and Sarah joined us for the last day and then took the boys home the next day. One day we went out to see Berwick Law, and it was really too windy to try and go to the top. But we'd read the information board at the bottom, so the boys were quite keen that we get up that hill. And so with Sarah there, we decided we would take a walk up Berwick Law. It's only about 600 feet, so not particularly high, but a reasonably steep climb. Lucas had help from his big brother to read the information board at the bottom, and it said it would take 30 minutes around about to reach the top. Unbeknown to me, Lucas, age 5 in primary 1, had set his Fitbit. And so when we got to the top, he said, "Well done, Granda. We got up here in 29 minutes, 35 seconds. I'm astonished at the ease with which the younger generation use technology. And I am convinced that I was nowhere near as bright as they are when I was age 5. And I'm beginning to suspect that the boys are a whole lot brighter than their grandfather. There's lots of things to see at the top of Berwick Law. The remains of an Iron Age hill fort, concrete remains from World War II buildings, and a fiberglass replica of a whale's jawbone that was put up in 1709. More than that, there's a lot to see from the top. It's a great vantage point. You can, of course, see the layout of North Berwick. There's the countryside of East Lothian, out to sea the Bass Rock, and not to mention great views of Fife in the distance. High places give us a view. I've been through Glen Coe and Glen Etive, and the mountains there are magnificent. But from those high mountains to little bumps in the ground, really like North Berwick, the mountaintop or hilltop is a special kind of a place. It has a certain feeling. Like many people, I find something quite spiritual about these places. When I listen to the experience of others, there is a sense of achievement in reaching the top of a hill or a mountain. A phrase that is often used says that the mountain has been conquered. But if you listen to the way that it's said, it really doesn't sound like the mountain was conquered at all. Actually, there is that feeling of awe, and maybe even of our own insignificance. Less conquering the mountain and more the mountain putting us in our place. Through the Bible, we have quite a number of stories where high places are mentioned. The mountaintop has been a deeply spiritual place, not just in biblical times, but right through human history and across different cultures. It would be difficult to imagine something like the story of the Transfiguration being anywhere other than a mountaintop. It's that kind of a moment. These moments of awe and wonder stick in the memory. I've always thought of them as God-given gifts. Maybe we need those mountaintop moments to give us strength for the majority of life, which of course is spent in the valley. So we're going to read Psalm 2, which I discovered that I have never used in worship before, which was a bit of a surprise. I was sure we'd read that before. A good psalm, but the main reading, of course, is from Matthew's Gospel and the story of Jesus' transfiguration. And Rob is going to read for us.
Today's first reading is from the Old Testament, Book of Psalms, chapter 2, from verse 1 to 12, and it's entitled, "The Lord is King." Why do nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." And the second reading is from the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, from verse 1 to 13. And it's entitled, "The Transfiguration." After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down into the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn 551, "In Heavenly Love Abiding."
Save this such from fighting.
This week, Lent begins officially on Wednesday, of course. So next Sunday is the first Sunday in Lent. The traditional reading for the Sunday before Lent is the story of the Transfiguration. Many biblical scholars point out that the path down the mountain of Transfiguration leads to the cross. What came to mind as I thought about this understanding of the story of the Transfiguration were some very familiar words, words from the 23rd Psalm. Maybe not a surprise, considering the number of funerals I have both attended and conducted over these last few weeks. The 23rd Psalm as a Bible reading, as something that is sung either as a metrical psalm or as a hymn, is probably still one of the most popular choices for funerals. And so we have these words: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." As Jesus descends from the mountain, he alone knows what the valley ahead leads to. And it is indeed the valley of the shadow of death. The disciples cannot know what is ahead, though Jesus tries to tell them. The story of the Transfiguration is one that is well known. It's certainly a story I thought I knew well. But as I read it this time, there were one or two little surprises. So, the story. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, those who were his closest friends. And I noticed that it says very specifically in the passage that they went alone. In other words, everybody else was told, stay there. Wait. There is something here of a private moment. And then as the story unfolds, it seems to tell something of Jesus' need and Jesus' recognition of his disciples' need. Ahead lies a journey that will, in a sense, end at another hill, from the mountaintop to the hill of crucifixion. What Peter, James, and John witness in this moment is Jesus' true nature as the eternal Son of God. I knew the words, but I hadn't really thought about them. Jesus' face shone like the sun. In other words, blindingly bright. That brightness that we cannot look at directly. We all know the advice that you should not look directly into the sun. To do so would cause permanent eye damage. Jesus' face shone like the sun. They couldn't look at him. And his clothes, shining bright. We could say, not of this world. And there with Jesus, figures the disciples clearly identify as Moses and Elijah. Those three disciples would have recognized in the presence of Moses and Elijah something very special. Why is Moses there? Because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And John, of course, would begin his gospel by describing Jesus as the Word. Elijah was recognized as the forerunner of the Messiah. This clearly tells of Jesus as Savior. Peter may be awestruck, but it takes an awful lot to strike Peter dumb. And of course, as usual, he has something to say. The offer of creating three booths is a way of saying, this is a moment I want to preserve. What Peter, of course, needs to learn is that the mountaintop experience cannot be preserved. It must be remembered, but it cannot be a place of permanence, at least this side of eternity. And then something else I didn't notice. The awe and wonder of Jesus transfigured is put into the shade. I suppose there's a wee bit of a pun in there as well, because it's a cloud. And what puts that moment into the shade is the cloud of God's presence. Literally and spiritually, the scene is eclipsed as God speaks from the cloud that envelops the disciples, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. We see this in the disciples going from the wonder of Jesus in his heavenly glory to the terror of the presence of Almighty God. And the words that are spoken echo words that were there when Jesus was baptized. In his baptism, Jesus chooses to identify with us, with sinful humanity. There on the mountaintop, as Jesus takes the road down the mountain, he is choosing to go the way of the cross. We might wonder if Jesus, in his humanity, needed this moment of confirmation as to who he really was, to give him the strength as a man to go down the mountain and into the valley of the shadow of death. We might wonder if Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain so that those who were closest to him would have some idea who he really was, and so have strength to cope when the moment of crisis came. Lent, of course, is our time of preparation for Easter. We talk of journeying with Jesus. We seek to understand more of what Easter is as we go through that journey that is Lent. I wonder how much Peter, James, and John reflected on that mountaintop experience as they went through that time of crisis when Jesus was arrested, tried, and crucified. As Christian people, there will have been moments when we have been on a spiritual high, and I can think of a few in my life. I'm not sure about you, but I know there are moments when I clearly wish I could live in that place. Why can't I live with that certainty of faith, with all the joy and power of that moment? Those moments when I felt so close to God that I was almost above the trials and troubles of life. But of course, we can't stay on the mountaintop. The truth is that most of life is spent in the valley below. And what is that valley? Well, there's a whole lot in the world that is not fair, good, or right. Sometimes we wish we could hide from the world. There are things that make us want to weep. There are things that make us angry. There are things that make us despair. It'd be so much better to be on the mountaintop, but we live in the valley. And then there is an awful lot in people around us that do much the same. And sometimes our greatest disappointment comes from people that we love or admire most. And sometimes it is even the fellowship of God's people that makes us despair. But if you're anything like me, our greatest heart fear and disappointment is usually down to self. Why am I the way that I am? You know, and those moments when you say, how can God have anything to do with me? And of course, that's the valley. Our great blessing is that Jesus is not to be found on the mountaintop. He walks with us in the valley. He goes down into the valley with us, not just beside us, but he leads us. So he is ahead of us, he is behind us, he surrounds us. His loving presence is our great reality. And so we have confidence to walk into the valley, even when it is the valley of the shadow of death. We have the absolute assurance of God with us in Jesus, wherever the paths of life go. Amen. And now, as we think about the world, and I'm quite sure that Derek will have one or two of the troubles of the world in his prayer, we're going to offer our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Lord God, we do pray for our world. Our news media is dominated by coverage of the continuing war waged by Russia in Ukraine and by the aftermath of the terrible earthquakes that hit Turkey and Syria. Father, we pray for the bereaved and the injured and the dispossessed in those places. We pray for all who continue to suffer. And we pray for those trying to relieve, to rebuild, and in the case of Ukraine, those who are trying to end the conflict. We think most about the ordinary lives that have been shattered. Those people caught up in situations that are not of their making. And Lord, all around our world there are people caught up in war zones and people who struggle, whether against poverty, oppression, disease and disaster. Again, Lord, we pray for those who are suffering, those who want the basic necessities of life, the things we take for granted. Lord, we pray too for our own parish, our community, and for our country. There are those in this parish who may have financial problems, who may be struggling with health issues. There are those who are bereaved. There are those who are housebound or simply lonely. And there are those who may be too busy or too stressed. We think of carers, of those who provide health services and all the other essential services for life, folk who work unsocial hours and who are having to work very long hours. We think of our politicians at a time of great change within the government in Edinburgh. And we think of all those who are in authority over us, whether in government, local government, agencies and companies. Father, we pray that wise and fair leadership might prevail. We pray that all in need will have the things they need and the care they need. We pray that neighbour will look out for neighbour, and that we all will play our part too. And Father, in a moment of quiet, we now bring to you our personal prayers. Lord God Almighty, hear us, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In looking for a hymn to conclude a service when we're thinking about Jesus transfigured, it seemed almost natural that Shine, Jesus, Shine would be the hymn to conclude today. So we're going to sing hymn number 448, Lord, the light of your love is shining. To love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.